I need some encouragement, don't you? I would love to be comforted and encouraged right now. I'd love to know some harmony, some comfort, and some encouragement that would lift me up in my life to help me survive in this day and age. Amen? And this week, we are talking about encouragement. Hey, my name's Keith Harcombe. I'm the lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. If I haven't met you yet, I'd love to in the lobby after the service. And we're on our fifth week and fifth and final installment of Rubbish. Everybody say, ah. Yeah, it's over. But it's the final installment and of Paul talking about rubbish. And it's the verse that we get in chapter 3, verse 8, where he says, I compare everything that I've now inherited in my relationship with Jesus Christ compared to everything I've attained before as rubbish. And the last few weeks, we've been talking about how people are not rubbish. Amen. We've been talking about how even though our circumstances are rubbish, we can still pray through that. We talked about rubbish itself. We had three bags here last week and the different kinds of trash that we have. And this week, we are talking about encouragement. Is encouragement rubbish? Is it trash? Is it outdated? And is it just Pollyanna kind of thinking? Is it just positive thinking gone nuts? And these kind of people are just thinking, ignoring the details and not really focusing on what matters. You know what Pollyanna is, right? Pollyanna comes from this saying that we say when people are encouraging and uplifted and positive thinking. It comes from a book. In 1913, a young girl was an orphan. And even all the different circumstances she went through, even all the trash situations she went through, she was able to be positive. And this is where we get the expression, oh, that's just Pollyanna. You heard that? You heard that expression? Yeah. And now it has negative connotations to it. Yeah, you say, oh, don't be Pollyanna with me, which means that you don't understand the details. You're not really thinking about what's really important, and you're off in the sky somewhere. You're thinking pie in the sky. Is encouragement rubbish? Is it just some sort of Pollyanna? Is it the kind of thing that people aren't really thinking about what they're saying to you when they're trying to encourage you because they're not paying attention to the details? Is encouragement trash? As you've seen in the video, we got to see some trash this week down in Cape Coral. A group of us were able to go down and provide some encouragement, some comfort, and some fellowship in the Holy Spirit. And as always, when you go down to encourage, you end up being encouraged. More on that next week. But we went down there and we were able to see, even amongst the trash that was all over the street, even amongst all the garbage out of the houses from floods, even amongst all of the rubbish that was around, we were able to experience some encouragement ourselves. We went down on the Tuesday, six of us, and we were able to meet this one woman when we got down in the afternoon, whose house was a trailer. It was in a really low-income neighborhood, and the whole street was just destroyed. Each of the trailers, I've got some pictures for you here. This is the across the street from where we were. There's the van there, and you can see all the trees on top of the trailer, and it destroyed his back porch. And Lynn is in the next picture. This is Lynn on the left here, and we were able to cover her whole trailer. She had leaks all over the house. And we got to see Lynn, and we were encouraged by Lynn. And you're like saying, how did that happen? Well, when we got to Lynn's trailer, when we got to her house, she was like, oh, Grace Church. That's who we'd partnered with when we were down there. Grace Church, I know Grace Church. I go to that church. I'm part of the dinner church there. I'm so glad you're here. Those people are lovely. I'm so glad you're here. Yeah, this is where it needs covering. I'm so comforted that you're here. And she was responsive to us. This is a roof that was leaking everywhere. And she said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And we were like encouraged for her. She even like took a picture and posted it on Facebook and tagged us and said, I'm so thankful that Grace Church was here today and Palm Harbor, we're a part of that. And we went there to offer encouragement and comfort and fellowship, and we actually received it too. You can clap if you want. Yeah, sure. And because of that, we were able to come back here encouraged. How do you say that? How does that happen? How is it that she, Lynn, was able to be encouraged, both encouraged herself and encouraging to us? What was the source of that encouragement? What was it that helped her to be a comfort to us? The Apostle Paul, responsible for communicating the gospel in and around the Mediterranean, was also in pretty trashy situation. The place that he was in his life was garbage. You can say being chained to a Roman special forces soldier was pretty rubbish. Yet even in amongst this, even in and amongst these circumstances, these situations, Paul was able to write the most encouraging letter that we have in the New Testament. He was able to provide encouragement, comfort, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to the Philippians that he was writing to. And the Philippians are the most supporting people to him, and he was able to communicate that. And this is the chapter, we're in the final one today, like I said, we're in chapter 4. So if you've got a Bible with you or in front of you, open it to chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4. It's in the second half of the gospel, the second half of the New Testament. If you've got a phone, I know you're looking at it. Take it open and type in Philippians 4. See, you're looking at it. That's my son down there. So Philippians 4 is where you are, verse 4. And this is where we're going to start off. Don't forget, Paul's locked up under house arrest, tied to this Roman soldier. And here's what he says. By the way, if you are down in your life, if you need encouragement, if you forget that you're a child of God, if you forget that Jesus loves you, likes you, and is interested in you, read this occasionally. It's the best stuff ever. Here we go. Chapter 4, verse 4 is where we're going to start. How does Paul know to encourage in these situations? Always, verse 4, be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. And remember, the Lord is coming soon. So at the beginning of this verse, this chapter, this place where we are in the scripture, the first thing that Paul, where Paul gets his encouragement, where he gets his covenant, is rejoicing in the Lord. So that's the first place you need to start. How do we get encouragement? We rejoice in the Lord. When we met Lynn, the reason she rejoices is because she knew the same Lord and Savior that we did. And she rejoiced in that. Oh, I know Grace Church. That's the church where I go. I rejoice in the same Savior that you do. So that's the first place to start. Not pie in the sky. Oh, this will figure itself out. Don't worry about it. Or don't worry about it. Where I'm from in the northwest of England, encouragement wasn't really around a lot. There wasn't really some uplifting thoughts that helped you on your way. Encouragement came in the form of, pull your socks up. Get over it. Hey, you're a big boy now. Pull your pants up. That was all the encouragement. Maintain, my grandfather said in the Second World War was in Burma, and he would often say, stick up that stiff upper lip. That'll help you. That always helps us, right? Paul says the source of our rejoicing is in the Lord. The source of our rejoicing is the fact that you know that the Lord loves you. And then he says, so the first one is rejoice. The second one, in verse 6, he says, don't worry, which is really easy, right? Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So this is the second one. Do not worry. Now, often this is misinterpreted as, oh, don't worry about it. You'll get over it. You'll figure it out. And Paul's not saying do not worry, as in don't think about things. Just forget about it and leave it and everything will just be fine. Don't push it all down. He's saying don't be pulled apart by your thoughts. The English word worry, it means strangle. Sometimes we worry, you're kind of strangled, right? And our thoughts pull our heads and pull our minds apart. Often when we hope for something, our hope centers our thoughts and centers our neuron paths so that we think better about a rubbish situation. Interesting, down in Cape Coral, even though there was rubbish on the streets, even though there was trash everywhere from flooding, even though there was garbage from all of the hurricane that had gone by, even in amongst that, people were hopeful. Oh yeah, they'd say, my two walls have come down. We had a 3-foot flood. We had to vacate the home. But we're not as bad as the other people down the street. Hopeful, maintaining a one thought. In fact, science now proves that if we're able to focus on a hopeful thought, it changes the neuron paths in our brain. Our neurons experience neuroplasticity. You can change what you think about a certain situation or a certain circumstance. Do not worry. So the first one is rejoice in the Lord, our Savior. And the second one is do not worry. Again, it's not pie in the sky or Pollyanna thought. It's do not worry and tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He has done. Then you'll experience a peace that passes all understanding. And this peace is going to guard your hearts as you live in who? Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, I want one final thing. It's not one final thing because he's got a couple more verses to go, right? One final thing, he says, though. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Fix our thoughts on things that are honorable and right and pure. That means that we have to put into practice what we actually believe. Fix things. If something's going good in your life right now, praise the Lord. If there's something going on good in your family right now, praise the Lord. If there's something that actually honors God in your life and you're proud of and you're excited, praise the Lord. Give Him honor for those things. Focus on these things. By focusing our minds, our hearts and minds on things, our neuron paths change and we're able to think better in certain situations. Think about things that are lovely and admirable. And then she says, excellent. And that Greek word there is arete, which means look for things that are virtuous, that have goodness in them, that are wonderful. Don't focus on things that are not good for you. Don't focus on the newest conspiracy that is happening in around you and you think, oh, what's going on there? You don't know. It just pulls away your thoughts. Think on things that have virtue, that have goodness in them, that have wonder. Put these things into practice. And we'll talk about this in another sermon in another day. Putting these things into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. So the third one, the first one's rejoice. The second one is do not worry. And the third one is fix our thoughts. This is the way we have encouragement. This is the way we find out that encouragement is not rubbish or garbage or trash. Fix our thoughts. Paul goes on, verse 10. He says, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you've always had concern for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me." You didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, but I've learned how to be confident or content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. This next one is something that we think about, something that we often have. They had genuine concern for Paul, the Philippians. This is the church that he had created, but they had some genuine concern for his life and what was going on in and amongst his life while he was communicating the gospel. And even though Paul was under house arrest, tied to a Roman soldier, even though he had been abused and beaten for communicating the gospel, even though he had been shipwrecked in the middle of the Mediterranean, he was still able to rejoice and be thankful for the genuine concern that the Philippians had for him. In the beginning of the book, all the way back 5 weeks ago, he said, I want to thank you for giving to me financially. And he comes to the end here and says, your genuine concern, your genuine giving for me, your financial giving, your care for me, actually brings me joy. He says, it's manna from heaven. It's this stuff, I believe it's from God because he's working in and amongst you Philippians. And that verse is in here, that verse you've seen before, whether it is with little, empty, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Who's seen this verse on the back of a car or on the back of a t-shirt or something? Yeah. And this verse is not like, oh, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength so that I can climb higher mountains on my vacation time. This is not, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength so that I can run faster in my 5K. This is not, Christ gives me strength so that I can lift heavier weights in the gym. This is that through everything that's going on in my life, through everything that's going on in Paul's life, through the difficulty he's facing, through persecution, through house arrest, through shipwreck, he's able to say, even through that, I have the strength to go on. I have the strength to encourage you. My life is still able to encourage you, even in amongst this. You have genuine concern for me, and I'm thankful for that, he's saying. And goes on to say, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. Verse 16, no other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent more help than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. So Paul had received financial help. They were the only church. They were the only church that were supporting him, sharing the gospel around the Mediterranean. They were the only church that were giving to him and the cause of sharing the gospel. And so this next one is, you will know encouragement by giving help. In fact, science once again has proved to us that by when we give financially, and some of you give through your time and your talent, and I'm thankful for that, and that's as like Paul is thanking the Philippians, my duty is to thank you for that. And some of you give financially through your treasure, And by doing that, that actually changes our thought process in our head. It changes the neuron patterns so that we have more neuroplasticity in our head so that we can actually feel better. Giving helps you feel better. If you've given to something, you've given to this organization, you've given to other people, you feel and think better thoughts about yourself. And Paul is the recipient of all of this giving, and he's thankful as their pastor. And he says, verse 18, he says, "At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are sweet smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs, not all of your wants, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen." The same God who provides for you and for me and for our friend Lynn down in Cape Coral will supply all of your needs for his glorious riches to be revealed. And the same God that gives Paul encouragement, the same God that gives Lynn encouragement, is the same God that gives us encouragement and shows us what it's like to give. Shows us what it's like to give financially. And when we've got all those things, we've got all those things sorted out, we're rejoicing, we're not worrying, we're fixing our thoughts. When we have these three things figured out, we can give. We can give financially to what we are passionate about. Paul said it's a sweet smelling aroma. That means it wasn't coerced. They weren't guilted into giving, but they weren't like, you know, hit over the head with the Bible and you know, hey, give to your church. No. It was out of the open-hearted generosity. Because they were encouraged. They were encouraged in their faith. And today, the simple thing I want to ask you as an action point today, the simple thing I want to not coerce, not to guilt you into, is to give. Give to the mission and vision of this church. And I'm thankful to those of you that have already raised over $8,000 to send down to United Methodist Committee on Relief to send off to missions. And we were able to obviously go down there this week because we had missions already to the side. And I'm thankful for that. But today I simply want to ask you to give to the mission and vision of the church. And there's ways that you can do that. You know that, and we've got them on the screen right here. You can give through text, 866-GIVE. You can do that right now. You can give online. If you're online watching, you can do that to phumc.net. Click give in the top right-hand corner. You can give here at the back, in the boxes at the back, and you can give by a check. But when we give to the mission and vision of the church, particularly this church, we're able to be encouraged. The neuron paths change. Are able to know the presence. Even if you give like $1, if you're one of those low-income kind of people like Lynn was that we showed you, even if you got $1, I know she gave to her church, $1 to the mission and vision, you're bought in, you're part of the team, you're part of what's going on. And if you're blessed with affluence and you want to give us $10,000, then go ahead. But when we are encouraged, we're encouraged because of our rejoicing with Jesus. We give. We give to the mission, vision of the church. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your servant, Paul, and how his rejoicing, his encouragement, his comfort was grounded in you. And Lord, we want that so much in our lives. Lord, we pray out of this comfort, out of fixing our thoughts on you or what's important, we would give abundantly to those in need, that we give to those to the mission and vision of our church, that we would give, Lord, out of the open-hearted generosity of our heart. We ask, Lord, you would show us how to do that today. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name, and all of the encouraged people said,